My pleasure to welcome into our pulpit Chaplain Joe Paul. Joe and I and Marla go way back to Manhattan, Kansas. That's where we first met. Joe was a church planting pastor there back when I was a sophomore in college, and I got a lot of good meals out of that deal from Marla, and really enjoyed that. It was a blessing then to hear Joe preach, and since then he went into the military, to the Navy chaplaincy program, served for 20 years, retired in 2004, and has served with a couple of hospice organizations since then, where he's presently serving now in Kansas City as a hospice chaplain, but has a desire to get back into the Reformed Presbyterian Church, and we're glad to have him here in the congregation. So we welcome you, Joe.
Thank you. Mara and I are delighted to be here, too, and thank you for all your welcoming, and I appreciate all that. We appreciate all that. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Matthew chapter 9, 35 through 38. Matthew chapter 9. 35 through 38. Verse 35. Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them, because they were distressed and dispirited, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest." Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for this scripture passage, for the example of Jesus Christ. And we pray now, Father, as we look into your word, that we would be touched by your word, that the power of your word might touch our hearts and minds, so that we might be appliers of your word and doers of your word tonight. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was accepted to become a Navy chaplain, I never imagined how challenging and how exciting this ministry would be and how the Lord would use me in the service. During my 20 years as a chaplain, the Lord, and it's such a great thing, gave me so many opportunities to share the gospel with many, many people. During my very first tour as a chaplain, I was sent right after chaplain school to the United States, to the U.S. Marine Corps. I thought I was a Navy chaplain, but I found out soon enough that the Navy chaplain served with the Marines as well. And so I was coming up with different ideas of how I could share the gospel with the Marines. And one way I was able to preach the gospel to the Marines was to have different services in the workspaces during different national and religious events like Thanksgiving, Christmas, and Easter. For example, I would go in and I would ask the commanding officer, "Hey, can I do a service in your workspace on Christmas or Thanksgiving or Easter?" And they would accommodate me and let me do that. And I told them I would only be about 15 minutes, wouldn't take too much of the work out, you know, out of the Marines. And so I did that. So one time I was given Easter services, and I got a call from a sergeant major asking me to change the time of the service from morning to 1600 or 4 o'clock p.m. for all you civilians out there. I didn't know the reason, but I did it anyway, thinking, well, at least he wanted to have the service. When I arrived, and this is unbelievable, there were over 400 Marines sandwiched into the work area. In order for them to see me, the sergeant major said, "Well, you know, I want you to get up on that desk." And when a sergeant major tells you to do something, you usually do it. So there I am in my uniform. I have a Bible in my hand, climbing up on a desk. And there I was able to preach about the resurrection of Jesus Christ to about 400 Marines. The reason I was asked, he asked me to change the service was simple. He just wanted to have me preach to both shifts, the morning and the evening shift, and 4 o'clock was when they changed the shifts. So I said to myself, "Boy, this is going to be a really good ministry. I can't believe how God opens up the doors when we put ourselves out there to present the gospel to people and just to ask God to use us." And I was able to, even in the same duty station, I went and asked people to make these red. Of course, you know, it's red and yellow, the Marine Corps. And what I did was I asked Hams, it was a headquarter maintenance squadron, to make up gospel track racks so that I could put them in every workspace. I would put Bibles out there, I would put gospel tracks out there, and we would have to fill them every week. Every week. And I thought, wow, this is unbelievable. Well, I was a command chaplain aboard the USS Yosemite. I designed a new cruise lounge for all the junior enlisted people. And what I did that for was so that they would know that I was approachable, that they would come to me and maybe ask me about the Lord. And a lot of them did. It opened up a lot of hearts and minds with me just going out, doing something nice for somebody outside the realm of just worship services or telling people about the Lord. And it was amazing. The Lord gives us many opportunities if we are willing to be used by Him in evangelism. At the end of my career, as I was aboard the aircraft carrier USS Enterprise, as we began a 6-month deployment, we faced a terrible accident where we lost 4 pilots from 1 squadron. The aircraft was coming in on the landing of the flight deck, and it hit another jet and went right into the water, and 4 pilots were lost. Well, I spent countless hours with the squadrons as 2 were injured and 4 pilots died. And God gave me tremendous opportunities to share Christ to these sailors and the Marines and to comfort their hearts. And then we had a memorial service, and over 1,500 to 2,000 people attended the memorial service. And there I was able to preach the gospel to all those because of this terrible accident that happened about Jesus Christ. And maybe some of them heard about Jesus Christ for the first time. I don't know. You see, my Christian friends, you have to be willing to be used by God, asking Him for opportunities to preach Christ, and He will answer your prayers. I sometimes think to myself, if I would never have accepted the call to be a chaplain, how many things I would have missed, all the opportunities I would have missed to present the gospel to those people. You see, as a hospice chaplain now, I have many opportunities to share with people, and I am privileged to share with people at the end of their life this wonderful gospel message. My prayer each day, and I hope it's your prayer, that you would pray to God that He would open up the hearts of people you're all around so that you can share the gospel with them. My prayer for you too is as you go out and about, and as you would have many opportunities as you see God use you and proclaim Jesus Christ to those people each day. For you see, God has saved us so that we may serve Him and be His witnesses here on earth. Jesus commanded us in the Great Commission, think about it, to go out and preach the gospel to those who are lost. Preach the gospel, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And when did Jesus Christ commission us to be witnesses to the nations? It was right after His mighty resurrection. Right after the mighty resurrection. This was on the mind and the heart of Jesus Christ for us, His church, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this was so important to our Savior right before He ascended into heaven, as we saw this morning. This is the reason why we are here on earth, for evangelism has its roots in eternity. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, before the world was created, together planned out the salvation for sinners. It's called the covenant of redemption. In that plan, God the Father was to send the Son into the world to redeem it after Adam and Eve sinned and disobeyed God. God the Son voluntarily came into this world in order to merit salvation by His active obedience, by living a perfect righteous life, and by His passive obedience, by dying on the cross, shedding His blood, being buried and raised again. And God the Holy Spirit came to apply Christ's work to our lives by instilling renewing grace with a sinner and giving us a new nature. R.B. Kuyper, in his book titled God-Centered Evangelism, tells us this, that evangelism does not begin with us, but with God. Evangelism means good news. It's the Greek word euangelion. It's composed of the 2 Greek words, eu that means good, and galion that means news. It is the good news that we are to preach to the world that Jesus has come to save sinners by his life, death, burial, and resurrection. Sometimes we think of evangelism in terms of results. Namely, when people get saved. That's evangelism. But evangelism really is only simply preaching the gospel or the good news. Surely, we would hope that people would come to believe in Christ when we preach the good news. But God is the one that does all the saving, not us. All we are called to do as believers is to preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Praise the Lord that God does all the hard work. You know, when you go out and about talking to people about the Lord, that's all God asks us to do. It's all he asks us to do. Plant the seed. And that's what we're supposed to do. God is the one, really, is who is rejected, not us. When we present the gospel or salvation with someone, God is the one that's rejected, not us. This is how it relates to us. We are God's means. We are God's instruments in saving sinners who are the elect. And strange as it may seem, God's plan is to include his believers in this great work. I love this verse. It's 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 4. And Paul is writing, and he says, "On the contrary, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel." Entrusted with the gospel. God has given us this gift of the gospel. What are we doing with it? What are we doing with it? We are called to be ambassadors living in a foreign land. 2 Corinthians 5:20 states that we are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. What a privilege and what a responsibility every Christian here on earth has. Think about it, that you have been entrusted with this gospel, a gospel which can save someone, someone that can be changed forever. You have that in your possession because God has entrusted you, Christian, with this gospel. How are we doing? Have we followed our Savior and bringing the lost to him? Where has the Church of Jesus Christ been in evangelizing the world? Can we do more? We can always do more. Always do more. Our Savior, the captain of our salvation, and the head of the church in our text in Matthew 9:35-38 leads the way once again as he gives us a model on how to evangelize the world. Remember, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So let us be challenged this evening as we examine and apply God's inspired word to our lives. Let us boldly go forth into the world from this place in the power of God by the Holy Spirit to see our neighbors, our friends at school, our co-workers, and even those in our family come to a saving faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I need to tell you this. We need to ask God every day for opportunities to witness for Jesus Christ. It will amaze you as you witness, and as you witness, the more you witness, the more you won't be afraid to talk to people about Jesus Christ. And I see it in my own life. I do not fear people because I have the power of the Holy Spirit residing in me with the Word of God and the Gospel that can change somebody's life. You know, the Holy Spirit can convict them of sin. But we have to be out there, out and about, bringing the Gospel to the lost souls in this world. So first of all, I want us to look at our text. In verse 35 of chapter 9, that Jesus went through all the towns and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. Note how Jesus leads his church by example. Notice he went out to all the towns and the villages, or all the cities and the villages, and what it tells me is this. We need to get out and about into all the towns and the villages. Jesus didn't sit back on who he was. He didn't set up a shop on a certain location, but Jesus went out and about in all the towns and the villages. If anyone could have sat back and set up a headquarters by putting out a sign, free healing and teaching by the Messiah, Jesus Christ could have done it. right? They would have come to him. But what do we read in the text? But Jesus went out and about in all the towns and all the villages. You see, the Pharisees criticized Jesus, the Son of God, for eating and drinking with sinners. But Jesus knew that in order for people to believe in him, he had to go where they were and be with them. His enemies called him a friend of sinners, right? He associated with the tax gatherers. Oh man, we would never do that. We're too righteous to do that. But the Son of God went out and freely associated with sinners. He went to where the people were. He did not wait for them to come to him. He went to all the towns or cities, but he also didn't ignore the little villages in the countryside. He went anywhere and was out and about. He was on the move. He was very aggressive. He didn't wait for people to come to him, as we see in Matthew chapter 4, 23 through 25. For he went through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom. And many heard about him, and they brought their sick to him so that he could heal them. He was available. He was out there. He had something people desired. We have something people desire, the gospel. Sometimes, my Christian friends, we need to go to some very dark places and corners in this world and preach the gospel to those who would not freely associate with, like the homeless and the poor. There are people out there who would never set their foot in a church. We need to be out and about talking to those people about the gospel. Jesus was not afraid to be associated with who? Lepers, the blind, the poor, and neither should we. I welcome the opportunity to go out and talk to those people and to share the gospel with those people. Because someday, somehow, those people are going to listen and they're going to get saved. But if they're not going to get saved if we're not out there presenting the gospel to them. Note that Jesus didn't only go in the towns and the villages preaching the gospel, but he did go into the synagogues. He did preach and teach his message that the Messiah is here to the Jews. Once when Jesus returned to Galilee, he stood up in the synagogue and he read in Luke chapter 4 from Isaiah 61. And I think it's telling what he read. He said this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor." That's what he said. He said this, "He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of the sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And what were the results of what he did in the synagogue? People were amazed as they heard him in the synagogue that day. Every time he went into the synagogue, he had an impact on somebody's life in the synagogue. How about us? Are we going out and about where we live and work and being a witness for Jesus Christ to this world? Or are we sitting idle, not saying a word about Jesus Christ? We need to be challenged by Jesus' example to be bold, even as the early church was bold, for they asked God for his power to boldly preach the gospel, even in the face of persecution, in Acts chapter 4. You know, you can witness anywhere you happen to be. Once I was stuck in a very long line at a store, and I could have been impatient as I usually am. I usually go looking for a short line, but I happened to strike up a conversation with the person next to me because we weren't going anywhere. It was a very long line. And so by the time I was talking to him, before I knew it, I was preaching the gospel to him. He didn't want to get out of line, so I imagine I had a captive audience. Well, he didn't really believe, but he heard the gospel that day. You know, we have opportunities like that every time if we're willing to go out and witness to people. You know, God's going to surprise you when the Holy Spirit grabs your heart and says, you know, I got to talk to that person. And I want to talk to him in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I feel like I'm compelled to talk to that person. Do it. Do it. We need to be open to the Spirit's leading. We need to be filled by the Spirit of God. And the opportunities will usually come to us as we are out and about in the town and even the villages. And you know what? You don't know how many seeds you're planting for the gospel in people's hearts when you're out and about in the towns and the villages, just showing them you're different from the world as Christians. Just showing them and telling them about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Second, we need to recognize the harvest. Verse 36. Note that when Jesus looked out at the multitudes or crowds that followed him, that he saw them as distressed or dispirited, like a sheep without a shepherd. The NIV uses this term, and it says this, Jesus saw them as harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. How do you view the world? Do you see people in the world without Christ as lost and condemned and going to hell? The series in our adult Bible study on heaven and hell has really energized me, has really renewed my zeal to preach the gospel even more. So there's such a real urgency for us to be out and about the towns and the villages preaching the gospel to the lost. Many of us have had missed opportunities with our loved ones and those we've come in contact with who have died without Christ. I can name some in my own life that I early on in my Christian experience where I didn't share the gospel with those people, and now they died without Christ. We have kept silent the very gospel that could have saved them. But the world through Jesus' eyes, notice, was harassed, distressed, dispirited, helpless, faint-hearted, tired, without peace in their hearts. Jesus saw them as helpless, for no one except Jesus could help them in their lost and sinful condition. And no matter what they try to do to save themselves, either by being good or doing good works, they could not be saved. They were totally lost. They were totally separated from God. And Jesus saw them as scattered abroad. Notice this. They're confused as a sheep without a shepherd. They were distracted. They were dejected. They were distracted from all the world's pleasures that do not last forever. They were dejected and depressed, knowing that their lives really did not matter, since they have found no meaning or purpose in their lives. Have you met people like that? You know, they get up every day and they go to work and they come home and they go to work and they come home never finding satisfaction in the things of this world. And Jesus saw the world in this way. How do you view people all around you who do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord? Well, I want to make a suggestion to you from God's Word. Next time, see them with Jesus' eyes. See them with Jesus' eyes. And this will challenge you to preach the gospel to them as you recognize the harvest, as Jesus recognized the harvest as a world that is lost and condemned. I don't think Jesus ever lost his focus of that when he was here on earth. He has never lost his focus of that. He was always on the move, presenting himself as the salvation to people. Remember, if it was not for the grace of God in your life, or someone telling you the gospel, you too would be harassed, helpless, like a sheep without a shepherd. It humbles us, doesn't it? It humbles us. But thank our God that he has brought you to the great and the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ. Thank him each and every day that he has entrusted you with his gospel so that you can be used by God in his Spirit to bring others to Jesus Christ. The world is restless. The world is without peace. But we know the Prince of Peace who can save them from their sins, even Jesus Christ, the Lord. Third, Jesus not only recognized the lost condition of the harvest or world, but he recognized that the harvest is plentiful. Verse 37. You don't have to look far to find lost people. They're all around you. They're all around you. The harvest, my Christian friends, needs immediate attention. There is so much work to do, and we should be out there doing it. God gave us all the resources to preach the gospel, including his Holy Spirit, who gives us strength, power, and boldness so that we are without excuse. 1 Timothy 1:7 tells us this, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. We do not have to fear preaching the gospel, for God only wants you to care for your dark corner of the world. And as you do, and as others do, we can reach the entire world for Christ with the light of His gospel. We will never be overwhelmed with this enormous task if each of us does our part in our corner of the world. There are corners of the world that I'll never be able to go to, but maybe you can go to. That's what I'm saying here. I won't be able to reach people where you're reaching people. But if you would do it, and I would do it, and someone else would do it, then we would not be overwhelmed. You see, the large crowds today that you see in the world today, every day, are headed to their day of death and for their final judgment. They are going to hell without Jesus Christ. How can I make it more clear? We must see the need for the Church of Jesus Christ to preach the gospel to the lost. We must ask God to lead us to those people who are ripe and ready to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you ever lead people to Christ, it's such a great blessing to see someone change totally from darkness to light in a second, in a miracle. It's a miracle. Anytime someone believes in Jesus Christ, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. And I challenge you by God's inspired, infallible word to look all around you and to speak boldly for the gospel to the lost. For my fourth point is a contrast to the third point. My fourth point, verse 37, we need to recognize that the workers are few. What an enormous task that we have. We need to redeem the time. We need to redeem the time. The harvest is plentiful, Jesus tells us, but the workers are few. Jesus fixes his eyes on the few disciples. You can imagine the scene. He looks at the few disciples. And then he looks at all the other people that are following him. And he says this, the workers are few. The workers are few. The huge crowds that followed him did not know him. There was only a few disciples that knew him. And he said this, the workers are few. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. There's not many of us. We need to get out there. We need to redeem the time. You know, it's interesting. In Matthew 7, 13 and 14, Jesus tells us this. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Many are invited. There is a universal offer for the gospel of Jesus Christ, but only a few will be called to believe. And we must, the called that are few, must go out and about the towns or the cities and the villages, working the harvest by preaching the gospel, not in our own strength. We can't do it in our own strength. We have to do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the way he was talking about. Jesus, before he ascended, said, wait for the Holy Spirit and you're going to receive power to be my witnesses. So to Jerusalem and all those places. You see, remember, we are only God's instruments used by God to bring his followers, his elect to himself. God does the saving, not us. But we must be faithful to the Great Commission. It's a commandment. I can't get out of it. It's there. And we need to go out and preach the good news to the lost, and God will bless us as we are obedient to His call for our lives. It's amazing when you follow and are obedient to Christ, what He does for us in our Christian experience and growth. It's amazing if we just do that. My fifth point is what Jesus tells His disciples to do, and it is to get on your knees and ask or beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest fields. Verse 38. Notice that prayer and evangelism go hand in hand. How many of you have prayed for a lost family member or a friend or a co-worker to be saved? Right? Prayer and evangelism goes hand in hand. How many of you then have prayed for a Christian to come in the life of one of those people Not just you, but for a Christian to come to the life of one of those people to be a witness to maybe your family member that lives over here and you're not there. Why not pray for a Christian to be involved in your loved one's life? And say, God, bring someone who knows the gospel to my loved one. And I think it works amazingly how God answers our prayers when we pray to Him. You see, the need is great, and the church needs to pray for workers to go into the harvest. Jesus sent out His disciples 2 by 2, and we need to get out there from our churches and be sent out. A person told me one time, and it stuck with me, that we should be careful when we pray to send someone out to the mission field, for that someone could be you. You could be the answer to your own prayers. My question to you is this, and this is to the young people, the old people, all of us. Would we be willing to go, if God called us, to go to Africa or Latin America? Would we be willing to go, be called even to go out in our neighborhood or the local area? Would we be willing to go? You know, I often tell people when I was a Navy chaplain that I would never have been a Navy chaplain, being gone for months at a time away from my family, if God didn't call me to that ministry. God calls us to sacrifice for Him. The cost may be great to be one of Jesus' disciples, but the cost is worth it for the sake of winning people to His Son. Are you that someone? Are you that someone? Young and old and even middle-aged, whatever that is, we are all called to witness for Jesus Christ. You need to ask your loving Heavenly Father to use you for His kingdom. Get up in the morning when you're doing your devotions and ask God, lead me to somebody that I can talk to about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I think He's talking about here, about praying. Get the workers out there. And lastly, my 6th point, and I skipped the most important point from our text for last. We have to go back to verse 36. We need to display compassion to a lost world. In this point, we see not only how Jesus saw the world with His eyes, but we also see how He acted with His heart. In verse 36, when He saw the crowds, He had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Maybe, and I have to look at this text, I have to look at myself, and I have to say this. Maybe the reason we are not compelled to preach the gospel to the lost is because we do not have the same love and compassion that Jesus Christ had for the lost. This is very convicting to me, for I have a tendency, and we all do, to get wrapped up in our own lives, in our own busy lives, and forget why we're here on this earth, and that is to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. I forget at times that this earth is not my home. Jesus takes the world's lost condition to heart, and so we must follow His example. He is deeply moved with compassion or sympathy or pity, for they cannot save themselves. They cannot save themselves. Jesus is burdened for the lost, are we? We read in Mark chapter 8, 1 through 3, that it was compassion for the multitude that led Jesus to feed over 4,000 people. We see Jesus crying over Jerusalem, longing to gather Israel up like a hen gathers her chicks, but they are not willing. When was the last time you actually cried over the lost condition of the world? Or let's get more personal. When was the last time you cried over a family member, a fellow student, a co-worker, a friend who was not willing to come to Christ? You shared the gospel and they were not willing to come to Christ. Listen to me. You will never preach the gospel if you do not have Jesus' heart of compassion for the lost. For when people of the world see Christ's compassion in you, think of the witness you will have as you care for them. The local church, and I really believe this, is the only hope for the world. And we need this kind of compassion for the lost, and Jesus Christ leads the way. We can, by the Holy Spirit, lead the lost to the great shepherd, Jesus Christ. Let us be challenged to go out and about in all the towns and the villages. Let us recognize the harvest, knowing that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Let us pray for workers to be sent out, and that includes us. And let us display to the world the compassion and love of Jesus Christ, showing the world that we are different, and thus attracting those people all around us to the Savior by our actions and the proclamation of the gospel. Begin to ask God to bring opportunities for you to share His gospel with many people, and be open to the Spirit of God leading you as He brings those people in your lives who are ready to hear the gospel. I have to stop and say this too. Maybe there's someone here that does not know Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior and Lord. And you know that you are lost. You know you are restless. You know you do not have peace. You have a restless heart of despair. You kind of feel scattered. You are depressed about your life. You're not 100% sure that you are a true believer in Jesus Christ. Well, now's the day of salvation. I invite you, I implore you to come and believe in Jesus Christ right now. You need to repent of your sin. You need to be sorry for your sin against the Holy God. You need to believe that Jesus Christ died, buried, and rose again to save you from your sins. You need to come to the cross with empty hands and lay your sinful life at the foot of the cross, believing that Jesus shed His blood for you and that He died in your place to give you forgiveness of your sins and eternal life. And if you do that, you will be completely changed for the rest of your life. It happened to me when I was 18 years old. You know, and once you make that commitment and once you believe in Christ, and I'm talking to Christians now, I'll tell you, I challenge you to go out and share the good news, following Jesus' lead of what He did here in our text. If you truly believe in Jesus Christ, and if you believe in Jesus Christ tonight and you believe in Him, then the only good thing to do, really, is to go out and tell people about Jesus Christ. And if you made that commitment to believe in Jesus Christ, let somebody know so we can pray with you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You that if it wasn't for Him, we wouldn't even be here. We thank You, Father, for this text. We ask, Lord, that You would challenge us each and every day to be able to witness to somebody. We ask, Lord, that You would just help us, Lord. Sometimes we're fearful of talking to people about the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet, God, You have given us all the weapons to do it. You have given us Your Holy Spirit. You have given us boldness to Him. You have given us the Word of God that can change lives and the gospel. So just, I pray, Lord, and we pray that You would just help us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.